24. The city woke up, Adam said.
Back that up a moment, Declan replied. Explain to me what that means.
He'd found Adam in line for a celebrity chef's food truck in Harvard Square, an establishment that served gourmet waffles with savory toppings for $14 a pop. Adam introduced the other students waiting with him as his good college friends, but Declan was dubious. The way they all stood together with Adam reminded him a little of a computer wallpaper he'd seen at the school office, a big shepherd dog standing with a bunch of ducklings huddled around its legs. Probably the photo was supposed to be cute, but at the time, Declan had thought about how unrewarding and one-directional the effort must be for the dog. This feeling of Declan's had only been underlined when the friend group discovered the food truck was cash only and began to wail, forcing Adam to patiently count out bills from his wallet in return for waffles and IOUs. Adam had changed since their time together at Aglenby Academy, Declan thought. Old Adam never had any money. And old Adam would have scathingly pointed out the large cash-only sign tacked to the truck rather than come to his wealthy friend's rescue.
I thought Cambridge was dead before this, Adam said, leading Declan briskly through the Harvard campus.
They'd left Adam's ducklings eating in order to speak more privately, and now that he was out of sight of them, Adam ate his fancy waffle on the way, perfunctorily, one bite after another, until it was all gone, without any sign of enjoyment.
No lay energy. That's why Ronan went straight to Nightwash here.
What is it you wanted me to see? Declan asked.
We're not there yet. I don't use it like him, but I can feel the ley line too. I use it if I scry or read cards.
Glancing behind him, Adam led Declan out of Harvard Yard to Oxford Street. There, he slowed his pace, but Declan could not yet see anything unusual. It was all quaint and scenic, red brick, white trim, black trees, blue skies.
I couldn't really do any of that after coming here. Like I said, the city was dead. Those tarot readings you saw were just for show. I was just reading people, parlor tricks, fake magic. But lately I've been feeling these, I don't know, pulses, like power surges or heartbeats.
Declan wasn't sure he liked the sound of the last bit. Power surges sounded clinical and manageable. Heartbeats sounded living, and living things were unpredictable and hard to control.
And then something really happened last night, Adam said. Look here.
They faced a more modern building labeled Science Center. Casting a furtive glance up and down the street, Adam crouched beside a concrete bench built into the wall. Reaching beneath it, he scraped out a large handful of debris. Then he showed it to Declan. To Declan's surprise, it was not leaf litter, but beetles. Some were small, ordinary-looking insects, black and unremarkable. Others were huge and spotted with the portentous grace of elephants. Some had massive forked antlers. Others were brilliantly blue, with galaxies of stars glittering through the color. Declan did not have to be told they were not native to Cambridge.
These are the Rockefeller beetles, some of them. Do you know what those are? There's 100,000 of them on display in the Museum of Natural History just over there.
Adam plucked one from his handful and showed it to Declan. The bullet-shaped beetle was ferociously green. It also had a perfect little hole straight through it when he held it up to the sun.
That's where the pin would go to hold it to the mount.
Dreams, Declan said. Adam nodded grimly.
Whatever happened, this pulse, it was strong enough to wake up these dreams. Long enough for them to find a way out of their cases in the museum to get over here. Not long enough to keep them awake.
How did you find out about this?
Adam carefully swept the beetles back under the bench. I was doing readings, and I got lost in one of the cards when it surged. After I got myself back, I came out looking for where it was coming from, just in time to see them crawling across the road here.
Lost himself. got himself back. There were entire emotional tomes in between those words.
All right, Declan said. So the city woke up, for a while. He hadn't told Adam about the sweet metals, and paranoid Declan was loath to give away more information, but he asked carefully, why do you think it has anything to do with Ronan? Could it be from a power source an outsider's bringing in?
Adam frowned at him, and Declan was nearly certain he knew Declan was withholding information. Adam, as a secretive creature, understood secrets. But Adam just asked, how much do you know about what Ronan's been doing?
Declan shook his head. He knew only that Ronan, Hennessy, and Bride were interfering with the moderator's attempt to kill other dreamers. That had seemed noble, useful, an acceptable outlet for Ronan's abilities and rebelliousness. Perhaps he had just wanted it to be. He'd wanted fewer ducklings for once.
Adam said, there's no concrete evidence, but Ronan and the others have been implicated in over 20 incidents of industrial espionage.
Surprise was not the emotion Declan was feeling, so some part of him must have known, suspected anyway. This was the other shoe dropping.
What kind of industrial espionage?
I got access to some of the agency's documents, Adam said casually. This, Declan thought, was why those kids in the waffle line couldn't truly be Adam's bosom friends. Adam was reading intelligence documents about his boyfriend, and they were Googling celebrity chefs.
They've been taking down power grids, server farms, corporate waste sites. That power outage a few weeks ago, the one that affected those tens of thousands in Delmarva, that was them. Transmission line. The price tag is in the billions.
Billions, echoed Declan. It was a lot to take in.
What's the goal?
The moderators don't know. Or at least they haven't put it in writing. I think I can guess, though. Overnight, I compared the dates and times of the espionage with the surges, and they match up. They match up exactly. I think Ronan and the others have been working to clear obstacles from the ley lines to make them stronger. Every time they do, that creates a chain reaction that means this line under Boston and Cambridge, this line that was dormant, it surges too. Has Matthew been having fewer of those strange episodes lately?
Declan didn't know. He hadn't asked. Matthew hadn't said.
Theoretically, Declan had been thinking nonstop about a sweet metal to secure his future. But actually, this was what Declan had been thinking nonstop about. Jordan Hennessy.
I wouldn't be surprised, Adam said. He should be feeling great every time one of these surges happen.
Declan didn't see the problem with that, and he said so. Adam pointed to the Beatles.
You don't see a problem with that?
I see something that means eventually Matthew could stay awake on his own, am I right?
Adam's voice was patient, as if Declan were a child.
Multiply that times thousands.
Imagine a world where all the things the Ronan Lynches of the planet have dreamt over the years begin to wake up. Over the decades, centuries. Think about legends that could be talking about dreams. Think about all the monsters. Dragons. Minotaurs. How many of these things are just stories, and how many of those things were dreams that are sleeping now because the dreamers died long ago? Right now, Ronan's limited by how strong the ley line is. How many Ronans are there? What would they do without any limits? Stop thinking about Matthew for a second and think.
And now it began to spool out in Declan's mind. A future where dreamers with ambition broke the economy, changed the art world, dreamt escalating weapons. Neil and Ronan's skill hadn't been threatening because it had been limited both by ability and by scope. They wanted to live in the world as it was, but someone with absolute power and no checks or balances, Declan thought, someone with ambition.
This isn't just about keeping Matthew awake, Adam said. This is a bigger plan. This is a strategy.
That doesn't sound like Ronan.
Why do you think I said we needed to talk about Bride?
Bride.
Declan, Adam said. The moderators have special psychics. Visionaries, they call them. They've seen the future, and they think Ronan and the others are going to dream the apocalypse. That's why they're trying to kill him and Hennessy and Bride. They think they're going to end the world. Adam went on, his voice low. There's something out there. A thing that would end the world if it could. A kind of collective nightmare. I saw it the last time I scried. A dreamer could bring it back. They wouldn't even have to be trying to do it on purpose. You've seen what Ronan can do. Just one bad dream with enough lay energy to make it real, and then it's game over. The moderators have a point, is what I'm trying to say. Think about it. They have a point, and that's even if there's no bigger plan than just making the ley lines powerful again. For a moment, they were quiet. Declan sat on the concrete bench and looked back down the street at Harvard. He thought about how, at the beginning of the semester, Ronan had come here to look for apartments, and Declan had really believed that his loud brother might possibly live a quiet life like that for Adam's sake. "Has he called you?" Declan asked, knowing the answer already, not because of anything Adam had said, but because of all the things he hadn't. Adam just looked at him. "Do you trust Ronan?" Declan asked. His brother was many things, he thought, but murderer he was not. Even at his worst, it was only himself he'd wanted to destroy, and that hadn't seemed to be the Ronan he heard on the phone. Ronan's sin was immediacy, not villainy. Adam looked pensive. "I don't trust Bride." "That doesn't answer the question." But Adam just flicked the remaining beetle back under the bench and turned his face into the coming sunset. Declan understood then that Adam Parrish was allowing him not much closer than he'd let those friends in the waffle truck line. This was still just a corner of the situation. A very different corner than he would share with his Harvard buddies, but still, need-to-know basis. No more. Actual closeness and truth had been reserved for only one person, and Declan's relationship to that person was the only reason he was being given even this much of a look at Adam's concerns. "What do you want me to do about it?" Declan asked. Adam said, "Is he taking your calls?"